When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to space for everyday women to go from surviving to thriving by pursuing a purpose that's truly rooted in faith. And now, we're also becoming the premier space for Christian coaches and therapists to finally learn how to integrate faith into their practice without being churchy or limiting their audience. Each week, we'll merge biblical wisdom with practical everyday application so that you can be empowered to excel in every facet of your life and business. Are you ready? Let's get started. Hey, sis, and welcome to this week's episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. I'm so excited for this month. We are talking about mental health. May is Mental Health Month. A lot of you, I told y'all at the top of the year, I am smack dab on the path of getting my psych certificate in a psych nurse practitioner certification, rather. I'm a pediatric nurse practitioner now and have been diving into the psych world for several different reasons. And with it being Mental Health Month, I want us to start tackling some of these concepts and some of these things that God has revealed to me. What we're going to do today is we're going to talk about overcoming overthinking. And what God has shown me a lot of times, especially as it pertains to this platform particularly, but even other platforms and just a habit that we have as Christians, is oftentimes we consume and we aren't thinking about where those spiritual calories are going. We're so excited to get the 3 points and this is how you fix X, Y, and Z, when we aren't really taking what we're learning from these platforms, taking it back to the Lord and allowing Him to reveal how that thing is personal to me. And because of that, you see a lack of transformation. You see a lack of people really getting in the change that they want. You'll have a level of revelation, but that revelation may not feel as personal or be as impactful as it could be, because we are constantly consuming and we're not taking enough time to examine ourselves. So what we're going to do moving forward is we are going to really start breaking up some of these things that we talk about. We're talking about overthinking, child. We could talk about that for years, months even, or decades even, rather. And I think that we get so caught up in, like, let me get what I need to get so I can go and do the things, that we don't understand what God is trying to show us. There's a new pace that we need to start taking in terms of our personal development. There's a pace of grace that we need to start taking with our personal development. We are going to be going through this process of sanctification until Jesus comes back. So you don't have to listen to everything all today, getting all the tea all right now. You have to really learn and grow to a level of maturity to where you don't miss things that are said because you're consuming so much, right? You got to stop and smell the roses. You got to stop and eat your food and taste it. A lot of us are eating, and we're not really tasting the flavor of the food. We're not really thinking about how it's impacting us spiritually. And so for that reason, I'm gonna stop overfeeding y'all, right? Like them little babies in clinic. You overfeed a baby, they're going to get reflux. They're going to start throwing up. They're going to get sick. They're going to be crabby. They're going to be full. There's going to be all of this stuff on the back end. And a lot of us are overfeeding ourselves or not feeding ourselves in the right way. And we're seeing the consequences of that by us going through the same cycles, by us dealing with the same symptoms showing up differently. Could it be that we're in such a rush to get to and through this season that we miss the lessons that God is trying to give to us and they actually sink in? David could defeat Goliath because he understood the lesson of the trial and tribulation that he was going through with the lion and with the bear. He learned a lot about himself and he learned a lot about God. And a lot of times we go to these places and spaces or listen to these podcasts and we're really only coming to learn more about what we need. And we're not looking to learn more about who we serve, who God is. We just want what we want. And so as for me in my house, and by my house, I mean this podcast, we're going to serve the Lord and we're going to do it properly. So as we get ready to start diving into these topics and honestly just moving forward, we're not going to hurry up and just rush through a thing. Y'all gonna be having homework. We're going to sit in a topic for as long as God continues to give us revelation and things to discuss, because the issue is that a lot of us aren't seeing progress, not because we're not consuming, but we aren't putting things into practice. Now, that's not even in my notes. So Holy Spirit, just Holy Spiriting. I don't know who that's for, but you need to slow down. Don't buy not nay another book. Don't subscribe to nay another class. Eat what's on your plate, friend. Your blessings aren't going anywhere. What's for you is for you. We don't need to be rushing to a place of success. We want to make sure that we can sustain when we get there. So you do all this work to get there and then your integrity and your character is not godly character. And so then you fall and you lose everything. That don't have to be the case. So let's talk about overcoming overthinking. This came about, honestly, because your girl be overthinking. So the righteous read that we're going to go through over the next couple weeks is because I didn't got read in this area and I've had to learn and develop the skill of how overthinking is essentially killing everything we're doing. So let's put some definition to what overthinking is. Overthinking is when the mind becomes so entangled in its own loops, in its own cycles, that your thoughts are repetitive. The past events are repetitive. Future worries are repetitive. It turns everyday decision making into this debilitating cycle. And from a psychological standpoint, this is called rumination. When a cow eats something, it ruminates on it. It chews on it over and over and over. And it really is effective for them in terms of their digestion, but ineffective for us in terms of us going out and being able to be effective people. It really is ineffective in terms of us ruminating on stuff that we cannot change nor we can control. The word tells us, when the word ruminate, when you look at it and you study Joshua 1:8, where it says that you meditate on the word day and night, it's the same rumination process. I need to be meditating on the word over and over and over again. If you're going to overthink on anything, overthink on the word of God. There's no such thing, right? You're meditating on that. But outside of that parameter that God has given us, outside of that boundary of us meditating on the word, us meditating on our future thoughts, on decisions, on things that happened yesterday, on conversations that we had, on, oh man, did I sound silly when I said that? Us overthinking in that term, it is going to cause you anxiety and stress. It's going to put you in a place where you can't make decisions, you can't focus, and you're not effective. Is that God? Is that me? Is that this? Is that him? Is that girl? What? And meanwhile, nothing's getting done because you are so debilitated by your thoughts. You are so bound by your thoughts that you don't take action. Overthinking takes what God developed and intended to be your best asset, your mind. Our mind is unlike any other animal, any other creature that God created. It's supposed to be the thing that we are able to utilize to have dominion and power and to exert the authority that God has given us is through our mind. But when we allow our mind to overrun us, we have no clarity. We have all of this indecision, and then you are trapped in a state of paralysis. So what are some things that you see or you may experience if you are dealing with overthinking, right? Because overthinking is the disease, but let me give you some symptoms. Constant worrying. You are constantly worried about things that happened in the past, things that could happen in the future. And it's even with like small things. Like, oh, if I do that, if I say that, then what if da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Please. It's one thing to think something through for strategy, but in overthinking, you are running that thing into the ground. It's one thing for you to, if you're making mashed potatoes, you want to like boil the potatoes. You want them soft enough so you can mash them. But child, if they're so overcooked, it's nasty. And a lot of us be overcooking our little brains and our ideas. You are indecisive. So there's a lot of hesitation and indecisiveness because you're afraid that you're going to make the wrong choice. And let me tell you something about the God that we serve. He can find you. He's a good shepherd. So while there are times when it really does matter and you want to make sure that you are getting this thing right, and a lot of the things that we are dealing with, it don't take as much mental space, right? It's not life or death. If we make a misstep, God will find us and you will learn the lesson. You procrastinate. You don't know what to do, so you don't do nothing. Now you're delaying your decisions or your actions, and now you're still feeling more overwhelmed. Like, you already felt overwhelmed about the possibilities and the outcomes. That's why you delayed. But now you're feeling more overwhelmed in your procrastination because you see the things piling up. That happens because you were overthinking. You're not sleeping well because at nighttime, you are constantly ruminating over these thoughts. Your mind will not stop going. Now you're dealing with the physical symptoms because your mental health impacts your physical health. Your spiritual health impacts your physical health. So now you got headaches, stomach problems. The bubble guts happen when you're anxious. That is a physiological response to a mental issue, to a mental stressor. You are overthinking and you're so worried. Now you on the toilet. Friend, please. Please, you're having muscle tension, mental fatigue, you can't concentrate, and now other areas of your life are falling apart, and it adds to this snowball effect. You're super fixated on one event, one conversation, one mistake that you made, and now you are afraid to move. And now you're withdrawing from your friends. You don't want to talk to people. You don't want to pull on people. You don't want to be vulnerable because you're just so afraid that anything that you touch is going to fall into shambles. Now, sometimes overthinking may be a part of a medical condition, right? There's things like obsessive compulsive disorder. With ADHD, people tend to ruminate. However, even in those things, even in those diagnoses for the believer, right? I'm a person, I believe the Lord, I have ADHD. We still, in our diagnoses, God has given us a level of deliverance. So I understand what's going on and I have enough awareness to stop it. I'm gonna take my meds, I'm gonna make decisions, I'm gonna trust God. And a lot of us do not really take the authority that God has given us over our mind. God can overcome any type of diagnoses. And I'm not saying in a sense of, oh my goodness, you're not going to have any problems. I have my fair share of challenges with me having ADHD, but I also have the Lord, and ain't no problem bigger than him. And we have to really learn how to submit even the diagnoses to the Lord so he can show us how to steward well over the thing that he gave us. Paul had a thorn in his side that he asked three times for the Lord to remove, and he said no. And if you really study the scripture, oftentimes a lot of scholars think that Paul had like epilepsy. Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, was out starting churches. They think that he had some type of physical ailment like epilepsy. So just because you are doing what God says, just because you are a child of God, does not mean that we won't deal with certain challenges. The power that we have is that God, although he may not remove the challenge, his grace is sufficient in our weakness. That's not just a scripture. You have to live it. It's instruction. So whatever that weakness is, from ADHD to OCD, whatever the case may be, there's still freedom available to us on earth in this body because of who we belong to. So we have to be mindful of that. Even in us overthinking, we can still submit and should submit our train of thought, the way that we think, the things that we do to the Lord. Because we see this negative impact of these symptoms. Your mental health is going to go down the toilet. You're going to have heightened anxiety, depression, and stress. You're going to have less sleep. You're not going to be able to be sharp. And it's a snowball effect. You're going to have analysis paralysis. You're not going to be able to take action, and then you're going to miss out on opportunity, and then you missing out on that opportunity, it's going to lead to regret. You're not going to take action, and you're in action. You're still making a decision. So now you're still choosing to be disobedient, even though God told you to move, and now it starts this vicious cycle. And then your overall well-being, you're going to constantly be overwhelmed by your thoughts. And now you're going to be bound by your mind. That's not the work of the devil. This is just stuff in our flesh that we have to learn how to submit to Holy Spirit. So that way we can crucify it. I want us to look at three things that we risk when we overthink. Three things that we are giving up, three ways that we're allowing our flesh, our mind, the enemy, the things that we watch, hear, see, all of that, how it's costing us. And then I'm gonna give y'all some homework because I want you to reflect. And then we're gonna put a pin in it till next week because I really want us to understand and analyze, like, am I allowing my thoughts to overtake me? The devil don't have to do nothing because you're already in your own head.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So why is overthinking so detrimental to us outside of the physical ailment and the mental ailment and the mental fatigue? What is it costing you spiritually? Three things. First, overthinking is impacting your obedience. I want you to read the story of Saul in 1 Samuel 13. Saul was disobedient because he sat there and he overthought what was happening. God had already given him instruction through the prophet. And Saul saw what was going on with the people in the war, people coming to him, giving their input, we afraid, what do we do? And with him overthinking, he overstepped. Go read 1 Samuel 13. With him overthinking, he overstepped, and it cost him his entire kingdom. It cost him everything. God gave you instruction, and you're letting what your family say, what society says, what the social norms are. We got people out here calling obedience spiritual psychosis. I'm going to talk about it this month because I got a word. I got a word about it. Don't even. But you're allowing someone commenting under your TikTok video talking about you have spiritual psychosis to make you overthink your obedience. And it ended up costing Saul his kingdom. God told him, I was going to establish your kingdom forever, but you disobedient because you're overthinking. Overthinking impacts our obedience to God. Overthinking impacts our outlook. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to keep our minds on things above. That's in Colossians 3 and 2. It says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. And in us doing that, in us training our mind and understanding that we don't live here for real, right? Like, yes, we are currently here, but we're renting. We don't own this. I don't own this body. I don't own this house I'm sitting in, this microphone. And that's not no delusion or being delulu or no spiritual psychosis. It's the truth. The truth is, Jesus is going to come back. There's a new heaven and a new earth where we're going to live forever. And a lot of us will quit tripping off of trying to accumulate stuff on this earth, off of trying to accumulate and worry about things that are happening here so much in the natural. If you could remember that, look, I don't even live here for real like that. I don't even live here for real like that. Be a good steward. But let us not be obsessed with things that are temporal. This life is but a vapor. And a lot of us give way too much weight to what's happening on this earth that we're not even thinking about eternity, new heaven, new earth. This is why we are told to keep our minds on things above. In Philippians, when we're told to think on things above and make sure that it's whatever's lovely, whatever is true, not whatever is trending. Is it true though? And the truth is what God says, whether we like it or not, whether our flesh likes it or not, whether it agrees with culture or not. We don't agree with culture. We agree with the kingdom. We live under different rules. So we have to make sure that we are really understanding the impact that our overthinking has on our outlook. A lot of us are dealing with suicidal ideation and depression. And some of it, yes, is because we live in a fallen world and fallen bodies and chemical imbalances and the like. And some of it also is because we are not being mindful of what we're guarding our eyes and our ears to hearing. We're not shifting our perspective to realize that the Bible says that as long as you have clothes on your back and food in your belly, then you've been provided for. A lot of us are depressed because we want the big house. We want the next big thing. And we're constantly chasing things that are dying. This world is dying. This is not forever. And a lot of us, our mindsets are so fixated on what's here. Our outlook is so fixated on what's here that it's feeding into whatever physical or physiological ailments you may be facing. It's making it worse when the word says that you can have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. That's the truth that's available to us no matter a diagnosis. And so go see your doctor, go to therapy, do the things, and also you have to make sure that you're not allowing your overthinking to shift the way that you see God and His provision. Clothes on your back, food in your belly. It don't even say nothing about you having a roof over your head. If you have those things biblically, God has provided, because there's people who don't have those things. And we get so caught up in first world problems. Oh, this apartment too small. Too small. Somebody else would die for that. Somebody else is sleeping on a bench. And it's not to minimize your issues, but your issues are minimal when you look at the perspective of our God. He is above all, knows all, better than all, overtakes all. He is the beginning and the end. And a lot of us are dealing with overthinking in terms of the outlook of situations simply because you've made your problems a little g God. You can take your cares and your concerns to God. We are told to do that, but you make your cares your God. You're ruminating and meditating on the details of whatever problem you think you're facing and not the details of the Word of God. And so now everything looks bleak and we're overthinking everything. We have gone past the boundary that God has set for us intellectually. I can bring you my cares and my concern, but we're told to be anxious for nothing. So why are you being anxious? Why are you being anxious if we're told to be anxious for nothing? Why are you, if you've given it to God, friend, give it to Him. And then the last way that overthinking is robbing us, overthinking impacts our opportunities. When you look at the parable of the talents, right? The servant who had 10, 5, and 1. The talent, the third servant who had the talent and buried it, he was overthinking. Oh, I knew you was a harsh man, so I put it in the ground. And God said that you're wicked and evil. And that servant buried the talent because he was fearful, overcautious, and likely overthinking on the consequences or the potential consequences of his actions instead of taking the opportunity to grow what was entrusted to him. He let overthinking dictate his course of action and not his obedience, not what God declared. You're letting everything but what God said. You're letting everything but what God said dictate how you move. Do you love Him? Do you trust Him? Or are you allowing the thing that He made, that He gave you, your mind, your intellect, your capacity, He gave that to you. Are you allowing that to be your ruler? He let His overthinking moved him to the point where he didn't move. So we see overthinking having you step out of line with King Saul. He moved, he wasn't supposed to. And then we also see overthinking costing you opportunity with the parable of the talent, where he was supposed to do something. God gave him freedom to go and do. Those first two servants that were told, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," nobody said that they followed the same exact strategy or formula. But what you do see is that both of them had a return on their investment. They both doubled the thing that God placed into their hand. God gives us freedom. He gives us freedom to choose and to reign within His boundaries. So don't allow overthinking and you even overthinking the precepts of God to where you think that God doesn't give you freedom. No, God created all the animals and brought them joints over to Adam and was like, "Name these jits real quick. Name them. I want to see what you do. Go read Genesis 2. I'm so Florida, I said jit. I'm from Florida for real now. Name them. And name them real quick. Whatever you want to name them. God gives us freedom. There's freedom in Him. within the boundaries that he's given us. And those boundaries are for our safety, not for him to keep us from getting something. And your overthinking is going to rob you of an opportunity. When you overthink, you are going to hesitate, and you're going to hesitate at the wrong time. And God is giving you opportunity to grow, to serve, and to glorify him. And you're going to rob yourself of that opportunity because you're overthinking. You're not going to step out on faith. You're not going to go to the new ministry. You're not going to follow through and start the podcast. You're not going to start the business. You're not going to go back to school. Y'all think I wanted to go back to school? No, I did not. Right now, one of the struggles with school, if I would have overthought, I had to stop overthinking and I just had to apply. Because I'm like, let me not be disobedient. So I'm going to apply. And right now, I'm dealing with, okay, God, I don't have a preceptor yet. And the semester starts in a week. And I need one of them. Literally yesterday, someone inboxed me and said, hey, I want to reach out. I'm hoping I can help you. Because we want the beginning and the end. We want to know the whole plan. And we don't want to just step out on faith and do what God has called us to do. Whether he told me to take the summer off or whether I get the preceptor, I'm Gucci regardless, because I'm not overthinking this process. If I do, I'll do something I ain't got no business. I'll think that God got me out here back in school and he left me. It'll change my outlook. Or I would not be able to seize opportunities to grow, to learn, if I'm so caught up in the what ifs with what God is doing. Instead of me just trusting his plan and provision, instead of me trusting that his ways and thoughts are higher than mine. A lot of times we say these things and we know these scriptures, but we don't really believe them. And you can tell that we don't believe them based on our action or inaction. And that's not to shame you, but it's just the truth, and we have to deal in it. So while we're sitting here consuming all of these things, we're not even sitting down to make sure that we are applying the truth to our life. And I keep saying, and will continue to say, that without truth, there will be no transformation. So before we put a pin in it, I'm going to give you these five questions. This is your homework. This is your homework for you to sit down and really identify if you are believing God. Here's your reflection questions, and they'll be in the show notes as well. 1, am I trusting God fully, or am I relying on my own understanding? 2, how often do I stew over past mistakes instead of seeking forgiveness and moving forward? 3, do my worries about the future prevent me from living out my faith in the present? 4, is my prayer life more about my anxieties than the will of God? 5, do I question God's plan for me because I'm overanalyzing every detail? And I actually have one more. 6, am I avoiding steps of faith because I'm overthinking the risks or challenges involved? Here is what I want you to do. I want you to sit down and I want you to write out. I want you to get notebook, pencil, or digital notebook, Apple Pencil. I want you to actually write. There's something different, and you're really able to do something mentally when you're physically writing. Typing is cool, but it's something about you handwriting. All my notes for school, I'm handwriting on my iPad. And it helps you retain. Let's not just, again, be consuming. Let's retain. I want you to sit down and I want you to write out your answers to these questions over the next week. And then I want you to open your Bible. And I want you to look at what God's word says about these things. So if you realize that you're not trusting God fully, you can go to him and repent. If you realize that you're stewing over past mistakes, you can write that down. You can repent. And then you need to go find the truth in the word, where the Bible tells us that God, his grace and mercies are fresh and new. God, he throws our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. So if God threw it into the sea of forgetfulness, what you holding on to it for? If God has forgiven you and you've truly repented, which means to turn away from, you're not repeating the same offense over and over, what are you tripping for? What did Jesus die for? You can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and then still be trying to condemn yourself. The Bible says that there's no condemnation in Christ, not because of anything that you did, but because of what Christ did. It covers that. It covers past, now, and future sin. We live godly. We're not going to blatantly sin. But the mistakes that you make that are genuine mistakes and the lessons that you learn from, why are you condemning yourself? You can't pay the penalty. That's what it means to condemn. You can't pay the penalty. So am I really trusting the word of God? So reflect on the questions, write out the answers, and then go see what God has to say. And you have to make the decision. Is God's word the final say in my life, or is what I think the final say? Am I my own little g God? I want us to stop being robbed by overthinking. Next week, we are going to deep dive into the word, and I'm going to show you the scripture where God gives us the key to overcoming overthinking. So I pray that this blessed you. I love you, girl, and I will talk to you next week.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.